Hey, this is Cooper Smith. I'm one of the student worship pastors at Eastview, and I'm honored to welcome you to our Eastview Students High School podcast. We hope this is encouraging, inspiring, and helpful for you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy the message.
First of all, there's a lot of students in here today, which is exciting. We got a full room in here. So in case we have any visitors, my name is Zach. I'm the high school pastor here. And just so glad that you guys are all here with us this morning. I'm especially excited today because we get to arguably one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And maybe this is one of your favorite stories too. And so we've been in this Fearless in Babylon series, and we've been talking about these four guys, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these four guys, they had resolved, they had set in their hearts that they were going to go into this nation of Babylon, and they were going to follow God no matter what. No matter what the king said, no matter what the nation taught, no matter all of the things that were being done to them, they were going to follow God no matter what. And Babylon was this evil nation, and this nation that was allowed by God to punish the people of Israel because the people of Israel had been in acts of idolatry and sin and evil. And it would have been very understandable for these four boys to say, you know what, we're done with God. We're just going to do our own thing. We're going to do whatever everyone else is doing in Babylon because God has abandoned us. God said that we would stay safe in the promised land, and now we're not. So it would be understandable for these four boys to do their own thing, but they don't. They stick with God. They choose to obey. And we find throughout the book of Daniel that that choice, the choice to stick with God no matter what in the nation of Babylon, puts them face to face with death over and over and over again. And as we read these stories, I think it's important to stop and make an observation here, because it can be very easy to look at the book of Daniel and look at these life and death moments and think, man, these situations are crazy and their faith is unbelievable. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I was face to face with death for me saying that I believe in God, that I'm going to follow God, and someone threatened my life to do that. I don't know that I would stick with God. Maybe that's been you as you've walked through this series. This level of faith is next level. I don't know if I'm there. And I just want to encourage you guys with a few things if you're thinking that in this room today. Number one, for starters, we are blessed to live right now in a country where we don't have to fear for our lives by professing faith in Jesus. A lot of other countries do. Okay, that is a reality for a lot of Christians in our world. But number two, this is not like all of a sudden, after these guys decided, you know what, I'm going to start believing in God, that they had this kind of faith that says I'll die for him. This was not all of a sudden they decided in high school they were going to get baptized, they were going to follow God and say, well, now if someone comes and says they're going to kill me if I believe in God, I'm just going to say that I do. This is not just all of a sudden. This was a deep foundation that had been set probably from early on. Probably from when they were little kids being raised by their parents in everyday life leading from that point of saying, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to pray to him every day. I'm going to learn about God every single day. And my encouragement for you is if you want a faith like this, a faith like you see from these four boys, an hour on Sunday is probably not enough. To say my faith is just going to be 1 hour in the high school service at Eastview, and then I'm going to go and do anything I want, and I'm going to forget about God until the next Sunday. That's probably not enough to have a faith like this. A faith like this is rooted in every single day, being with God, drawing close to him, learning from him, going to him with your burdens and struggles like Emery was talking about. Now, these boys have also, in their time in Babylon, they've seen God show up already. They saw God show up when they decided they weren't going to eat the king's food. God protected them in that situation. They saw God show up when they prayed that God would reveal King Nebuchadnezzar's dream to them specifically, and God answered that prayer. So you have to think here that their faith grew strong because they're like, God has shown up in these ways, so now I can trust he's going to show up in the future. An encouragement for you is that our faith grows stronger when you remember over and over what Jesus has done in your life up until this point. And that's in my life. That's in opening the Bible and reading what God has done in the Bible. That's in looking at your friend's life and your family's life. Going back, our faith grows stronger when we remember what God has done. And so with that, we get to our story today. And it's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they have an incredible moment of faith. So grab your Bibles and open up to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, and we're going to be starting in verse 8. And as you flip open to that, here's what's happened up until this point. This story kind of is set up by going back to the dream that we talked about last week that King Nebuchadnezzar had. All right, and if you were with us last week, you would remember that Daniel revealed to King Nebuchadnezzar about that he dreamed about this statue. This statue with a head of gold and then all of these different materials going all the way down the body. This giant statue. And in this dream of this giant statue, this rock that is cut from a mountain, not from human hands, comes tumbling down, crashes into the feet of the statue, and crushes it. And the wind blows it away until there's nothing left except for this rock that grows into a giant mountain that will never go away. That's what King Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about. And this rock represents the kingdom of God. That God says, my kingdom's going to come and it's going to crush any other nation and it's going to establish itself forever. Okay, and so Daniel explains this to King Nebuchadnezzar, and we think for a moment that King Nebuchadnezzar gets it. After Daniel reveals this dream, he says in chapter 2, verse 46, he says, then King Nebuchadnezzar threw himself down before Daniel and worshipped him. And the king said to Daniel, truly your God is the greatest of God, the Lord over kings, a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this secret. It's like, yes, okay, King Nebuchadnezzar, all right, this evil king, he gets it. He knows who God is. He's going to worship God now. But that's not quite what King Nebuchadnezzar does after that. He has a brief moment. But then he goes back to being a really selfish, power-hungry king. And King Nebuchadnezzar, instead of submitting to the God that reveals mysteries, that says he's going to establish his kingdom forever, King Nebuchadnezzar is going to decide, I'm going to try and prevent this dream from happening, and I'm going to secure myself as king. So what King Nebuchadnezzar does is he's like, I'm not just going to build this weak statue. Now I'm going to build a giant statue that's going to be 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. And you know what? It's going to be all made out of gold. I'm going to create this giant statue that everyone is going to come and worship. To make sure this dream doesn't happen, he's going to build this statue, and he's going to tell all of the nations, all of the races, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and other musical instruments, basically this huge mosh of instruments. I don't know if mosh is a word, but we're saying it, okay? This giant clash of instruments, when you hear that, everyone is to bow down and worship this statue. And basically, he's doing this. The king is trying to manipulate everyone into political submission. No one goes against Babylon. No one goes against King Nebuchadnezzar. You're going to submit to my rule. You're going to submit to my beliefs first above anything else. And among the people that were commanded to bow down were these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And well, you may know what happens. So, Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 8. Some astrologers went to the king and informed on the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, long live the king. You issued a decree requiring all the people to bow down and worship the gold statue when they hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and other musical instruments. In other words, mosh. Okay? That decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon, and they pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods, and they don't worship the gold statue you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. And when they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I have set up? Now, I'll give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Let me pray. God, speak to us through your word today. Give us the courage, give us the boldness to follow you in the midst of Babylon. God, because we trust that you are the only one that can save, that you promise to be with us. And so, God, would you speak to your students? Would you speak to your people this morning and pray all these things in Jesus' name? Amen. To bow or not to bow? Okay, that's the situation that's going on here. And really, what is going on here is probably not what you've always thought. What you probably think when you hear this story is this picture of a giant statue, maybe on a building or on a mountain, in this giant field of thousands of people that are all bowing together. And then you basically see these three guys all standing while the people are bowing. And basically, how the word sets up and what scholars believe is that maybe necessarily isn't the picture. It could have been. But probably what was more likely is it was more like a concert, probably, that people got invited to. A giant concert, a giant party that people would go to, and the statue was in sight. And people at this party, when all the musical instruments would start playing, would start bowing down. And for these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they probably just didn't go. They didn't go to that party. They didn't show up. They stayed home because they weren't going to worship this statue. Another misconception or idea of this is that these guys probably weren't the only ones that didn't bow down to this statue. There were probably other Jews that weren't named in this story that didn't bow down. But the reason these guys are named are because these guys are high up officials. All right, they can't hide here. They have a lot of influence. And so it's very noticeable if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are not at the party. People take notice. And that's what happens here. And the truth is, we all face statue moments every day as high school students. We face these every single day. Oh, I'm at a party. Everyone is drinking. Do I? I'm with my friends. I'm with the boys, and they're smoking and they're vaping. Do I join in?
No.
That's right, Janine, you don't. I'm at school, and I'm with my friends, and we're all gossiping about that one girl that gets around.
No.
Do I contribute?
No.
Right? I'm with my teammates on the bus, and we're talking and saying dirty jokes, and we're cussing. The question is, do I participate? We come with these statue moments all the time, and really what it comes down to, it's a moment of, is my allegiance going to be to God, or is my allegiance going to be to my reputation? Am I going to obey who God says I'm supposed to be, or am I going to follow along with what everyone else wants me to be? Right? What's interesting and important to note here, though, is the king does not flat out come out and say, hey, guys, deny your God. This statue, the king, is the only God. King Nebuchadnezzar isn't saying that. King Nebuchadnezzar says, you don't need to deny your God. Just worship mine, too. Worship both. I'm cool with your God. But I need you to worship me, too. And if that isn't a picture of the culture you guys are growing up in right now, I don't know what is. It's messaging of is saying no one is saying you shouldn't be a Christian. No one is saying you shouldn't believe in God. Just submit to our worldview. Hey, no one is saying don't believe in God. But you don't have to obey everything he says in the Bible. Hey, listen, nobody is saying don't be a Christian. But you can worship, you can submit to the world's views and idols of popularity, of sex, of power. You can pursue the gods of pleasure and success. Pursue these things. Your God's cool, he's fine. But that doesn't mean you can't have a little fun too. Right? Nebuchadnezzar to these boys is saying, are you seriously willing to give up your life right now for something so small as just getting on your knees real quick? That's all you got to do. Just bow down. Hey, guys, I'm cool with your God. Just get on your knees. Bow down. Their answer to that is unbelievable. Verse 16 and 17. They replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. This line right here, though, is crazy. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. King Nebuchadnezzar, if you're trying to pick a fight with our God, you don't stand a chance. King Nebuchadnezzar, your furnace might be great, but my God is greater. But here's the most important statement. They say, even if he doesn't, we won't worship the statue. We won't bow down. They say, we know our God can rescue us from this because he's done bigger things than that. Saving us from a fire, pff, it's no big deal for God. But we trust God's sovereignty the most in this. And if he doesn't rescue us, then we trust that God's got a bigger plan than us living here. God's got a better plan for us. He's going to use this somehow. And guys, sometimes we sit in our own fiery furnace moments and we have a choice. We sit in these hard, deep struggles and we have a choice. When fiery furnace moments come, who or what am I going to worship? Am I going to cling to my God who can save? Or am I going to bow down? Am I just going to submit to what's easy? To what the world says will make me feel better, make me get out of this? Will we worship the idols? Because that just seems easier. I'm going to protect my reputation. So you know what? I'll just do that. I'll just say that. Or, you know, I don't want to feel these feelings of anxiety and depression, so I'm just going to numb it. So I'm just going to watch that. Or I'm going to scroll that for hours. Or we're sitting in these situations where we've been deeply hurt. And you know what? I'm just going to pursue retaliation. I'm going to get revenge. Or I'm going to be bitter. I'm going to hate that person because that's just easier than forgiving. Do we do that? Or do we refuse to bow? Will we choose the only God that can really save? And maybe the harder question is for us that maybe we need to sit in, what if he doesn't? What if he doesn't save us from that right now? Will we still choose God? Will we still trust that his plan is greater than what I can know? For these three boys, they put their trust in a God who's been there, done that. So what happens next? Let's read the rest of the story, verse 19. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the three men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. But suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace?" "Yes, your majesty, we certainly did," they replied. "Well, look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see 4 men, unbound, walking around in the fire, unharmed, and the fourth one looks like a god." Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb and their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no other God who can rescue like this." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions in the province of Babylon. How do you live fearlessly in your Babylon? You trust that the God who is able to save you is with you in the fire. How do you walk in our culture today? How do you walk in the dark world that we are around today? How do you live fearlessly in that kind of world? You trust that the God who is able to save you is with you in that fire. I know that in this room, we all have our fiery furnaces, places of pain, places of fear, places of persecution. And why? Why are we thrown into our own fires? Well, there's a couple reasons why you might be in a fiery furnace right now. One is we live in a world that is rebellious against God. Which means when you give your allegiance to God, when you choose to follow him and his word, the word then becomes rebellious against you. A rebellious world that we choose to go against becomes rebellious against us. And so a life of following Jesus means a life that we're going to experience varying levels of persecution, both against you as well as your pursuit of holiness. It's both of those things. But number two, we also live in a world that is full of sin and brokenness, and a broken world means a world with a lot of pain. So yeah, we all walk in our own fires. But God, what you need to see here is that God did not cause the fiery furnace moment in this story. Do you get that? God didn't cause that. An evil king did. An evil king that was against God caused the fiery furnace. But God used it for his purposes. God did not cause the fiery furnace, an evil king did, but God used it for his glory. Just like Emery said at the very end of her meditation, John 16:33, guys, in this world you will have trouble. Jesus is saying, it's going to be hard. You're going to be in fiery furnace moments. But then he says, take heart. Hang on. Stick with me because I have overcome the world. I've overcome it. I've won. In other words, in this world, you're going to have to walk through fire. You can't really avoid it. But take heart. Jesus says, I can rescue you. What's interesting here is God could have prevented the fire in this story. He could have just wiped out King Nebuchadnezzar, could have made him change his mind, gotten rid of the fire. He could have prevented it, right? But God did not prevent the fire. These boys were still thrown in. But what God was he was with them in that fire. He didn't prevent the fire, but he's with them in it. And God may not promise that fiery furnace moments won't come, but he does promise you guys that he is with you in it. And this fire, God can use it for his purposes. Guys, fire is something that refines. It shapes things. There's a reason why you get metal really hot. You use fire to shape it. And God may not promise that we're not going to have fiery furnace moments, but these fiery furnace moments with God in the midst of it means that he can shape us. He can mold us into who he wants us to be, who he's calling us to be, a greater purpose than what we thought possible. God can use your fire. He can use it for his glory. My favorite line of this story, though, is verse 27 right at the very end. Do you see what it says? These boys walking around in a fire didn't even smell like smoke. Now, I know you're high school students. You guys hang out at bonfires all the time. You got to wash those clothes like twice because you smell like bonfire. Imagine just deciding to go ahead and walk around in the bonfire and walking out and you don't smell like smoke. They didn't even smell like smoke. Here's why that is my favorite line and why I think it connects perfectly to Jesus. Because guys, as you walk through fire right now, if you're in the fire of shame from sin in your life right now, And that is your fire. If you're in the fire of depression and anxiety right now, and you're walking through that fiery furnace, if you're in the fire of feeling lonely right now, if you're in the fire of social persecution, of standing up for God and people are persecuting you in a way, if you're standing in the fire of fear for the future and you don't know what's coming next, if you're in these fires, here is your hope. You will walk out of those fires not smelling like smoke. What I mean is that when Jesus went to the cross and he died and he rose again, he washed you clean. That you're in the fire of your sin and your shame, of your struggles, you walk out of there clean. It may be messy and gross in the midst of it, but every single time, if you believe in Jesus and you trust that he can save you from it, that he washes you clean, you don't smell like smoke after. You smell clean. That's your hope. Jesus has washed you clean. You guys will see up here that we have these plexiglass signs. And up in the balcony, we have one up there too for you guys. And I'm going to invite you guys to have a moment of vulnerability, of response, to say what your fiery furnace moments are. And we have some markers up here to come up and write in this next song. And what I want to invite you guys to do is, if you feel comfortable, to come up and write what your fiery furnace is right now. What are you walking in right now that is scary, that is hard? But I want you to write it in the confidence that, one, Jesus can rescue you from that. He's the only one that can. And number two, even if you're in the midst of that fire right now and you don't feel like you're being rescued out of that right now, what moment can you write up here that you trust that God is right there with you in that? God promises that you are not alone in your fiery furnace. He met these guys right in the midst of it, and he saved them. So I want to invite you guys to stand now. And we're going to sing Another in the Fire. Makes sense, right? And I want to invite you during this song to come up. What is your fiery furnace moment that you trust that Jesus can rescue you from? And even if he doesn't, do you trust that he is with you through it all? Let's sing and let's respond.
Well, everyone, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the message, we'd love it if you would join us on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for our Eastview Students High School service. We also want to invite you to subscribe to the podcast and share it to your social media accounts. To stay up to date, check us out on Instagram at EastviewHSM and check out our Eastview Students YouTube channel. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.